Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
We're going to be talking about first fruits today, and I'm just asking you to bear with me just a minute while I pull up something on this computer here. But today I'm actually, for those of you, how many of you have heard me teach first fruits here now? I've been teaching it since I came here. Soon that I came into first fruits understanding in 1991, we began to practice first fruits then. And we've been practicing first fruits ever since then. First fruits is not something we do. First fruits is who we are. First fruits is a way of life. Now let me just share with you one thing before I get into this. Matt, are you up on the computer? Who's on the computer? I'm going to get somebody to help me here just a minute with it and everything. Dawn, when you come here, you can come. I need you to do this while I'm talking. That will help me stay in the flow. First fruits is like an insurance. Chris, you have insurance on your car? All right, so if I back into it today and drive off and you don't know that I backed into it, the insurance with the deductible kicks in and pays to repair it. First fruits is like an insurance. Come here, Dawn, I want you to look up something for me. Just do a search right here for first fruits. Hold just a moment. I don't know where it's one word or two. But anyway, first fruits is like an insurance that rebukes the devourer before it comes. God's insurance keeps it from ever being damaged. And when we began to practice first fruit, Susan and I was in Waco, Texas one weekend, raising an offering for Zaire, Africa, which is now Congo. And the phone, that was pre-cell phone days. And the phone was out in our hotel room. We didn't know it. And all night they tried to call us. Now, I don't understand why they didn't come down. But a tornado had hit in Dyersburg, Tennessee, where we live. And our three children were there without us. And there had been damage a little bit to the house. Nothing major. Jerked the power out of the end of the house. Blew a few shingles off. So the next morning we finally found out about it. And everything was fine. But when I arrived home... Monday, when I arrived home, a contractor came out to see about replacing the shingles on the house, just one corner of the house, and fixing the power back into the house. And on one side of our house, big oak trees and a magnolia tree had been jerked out of the ground. Behind our house, about 8 or 10 big oak trees were gone. A pecan tree was gone. We had a big six-stall barn with it. It had ripped that barn up. We found it 6 miles away hanging in a tree at the radio station. I mean, it was devastation everywhere. And this is what the contractor said. He didn't know I was a preacher. He said, "Mister, if I didn't know better, I'd say this tornado split and went on either side of your house." Now, let me just tell you what I envision happened. Right at the southwest corner of my house, this big old Bubba angel stood there. Amen. And it split. And that's what first fruits will do for you. Now, today, I'm going to tie the first fruits into the apostolic. Giving tithes and giving offerings connects you to the local house, the assembly, the congregation, what we have called church. But... The giving of first fruits connects you to the apostolic. How many of you believe we're in the apostolic age? Let me finish. Yeah, this one here. Okay, thank you. We are in the apostolic age, and so I'm going to teach it from getting you connected. Now, there are other people that will teach it only from the pastoral, and that's not wrong. And I've taught it for 11 years here now from the pastoral side. This is the first time I've taught it from the apostolic side. But because we are an apostolic center here, I felt that I need to do this. I felt like I need to do it in this way. Let me pull up one other thing. I'm trying to get it. There we go. Getting both of these coordinated together to where I can do it. And so we're going to talk about apostolic alignment through first fruits. Go to the next slide. Alignment with the apostolic is accomplished through the principle of first fruit. When you bring first fruits in, you're not just bringing your tithe. First fruits is one. There's a heave offering. There's all kind of different offerings that we could talk about, and first fruits is just one of those. And it's something that you can do on a regular basis. We do it officially, I don't know if that's not a good word. We do it twice a year. We choose to do it this way. See, with our finances, we develop spiritual realities. We develop spiritual realities. How many of you want spiritual reality? See, when you sow a seed, it changes something in the spirit. It changes something in the spirit. You know, I like what Jesse Duplantis says. Name your seed. What are you expecting? You know, years ago in 1992, probably, our daughter Dawn, I mean, I'm just kind of a practical guy, and when she got up ready to drive, I bought her a pickup. Probably had a little something to do with that's what Dad wanted. And she came to me one day and said, "Dad, I love the pickup, but it's not me. I want a car." And I said, "Well, we brought a man named Bob Seymour in to teach it." And I said, "I'm about to fly overseas. Bob's going to be here." And she said, "Well, I'm going to give a first fruits offering for a car. I want you to come in agreement. I'll give it while Bob is here. But I want you to come in agreement." And so we came in agreement, and I flew overseas. And when I flew back, it was just about Christmas when we did this. And I flew back in, and a couple called me and he said, "Are you going back to Arkansas for Christmas?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you going to see Susan's mom and dad?" And I said, "Yeah." And this couple knew that her parents owned a car dealership. And they said to me, "We don't want to say anything else, but do not buy Dawn a car while you're there." And I said, "Okay." Well, anyway, they got the car. They had it being serviced, and they blessed her with a Toyota Cressica car. I mean, they sent it to the shop, had everything fixed, everything detailed. It was an incredible car. Why? Because she planted a seed and named it for a harvest. Boy, you're quiet today. Am I making sense? And so we're going to look at first fruits. But let me just tell you a few things that you need to understand about it. Here's some promises of first fruits, okay? I mean, boy, that's moving fast. It's separate from the tithe. It's a portion of the harvest. It represents the whole of the harvest. It's like an insurance policy, and you should do it annually, but also as needed. Had a couple, I taught this in Louisville, Kentucky, Deeper Life Church, was pastored then by Drummond Tom, great friend, he's gone to be with the Lord now. And a couple had had two houses on the market for 24 months, no lookers, no buyers, no nothing, gave a first fruits, both houses closed within 90 days. You can't buy things from God, but you can trigger spiritual realities through giving. Is this okay? Okay? Money produces alignment that releases blessings for breakthrough. Money produces alignment that releases blessings for breakthrough. How many of you are ready for a breakthrough? I'm ready for a breakthrough. I'm having trouble with one of my apparatuses here. Matt, I'm going to have to get you to come down here and help me for just a minute. I don't know what's wrong with my iPad, but it's not wanting to slide the files there. I want you to catch it from this side. When you plant a seed of first fruits, there is a power of God that goes into effect to make sure that your harvest is complete. Are you hearing me? You know, we have Alan and Tina Tatum here with us today who have a ministry called R3. They just shared a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, and it was an incredible testimony and everything, but they want to work in the human trafficking to free people. And I believe this ministry is going to grow. And I just want to say this, not because they're here, but they were incredible that day. But your giving and sowing into them was beyond that. And that's the people that I want to introduce you to that you mentioned. Now I did it. Every once in a while this is hand. Now see there? Can you help me with that? You work for Apple and everything. Huh? It's still doing it. It's hanging up on me there. Yeah, it doesn't like me. Okay, well, please get me going or get my other one. We're going to change apparatuses. Okay, it's one finger. Be a good place for Jeopardy music. Could you look and see if my other one's in my bag in there and get it changed out? Okay. Why first fruits? I'll give you three things. God has given us so much. Okay. How many of you are in lack right now? Be honest. Hold your hand up. There's some things. Okay. Let me tell you how to move out of that lack quicker. Begin to rejoice over the things you have. Can I use you for example? You've been without work. Things have been a little tight. You kind of had to adjust probably the way you spend. You know, and I hadn't been going down buying $12 a pound ribeyes lately, probably. You know, that's how, what we do when money gets tight. But can't you look around? I saw the truck you drove the other day. It's a pretty nice truck. Even if it's been a challenge to make the payment. In other words, rejoice in what you have, the blessings of God. I want to tell you, when you're focused on the lack, you connect yourself to the lack and it's hard to move forward. But when you focus on the blessings of God, it is like it is like one of those escalators in the airport. I love to get on them. I feel like, man, I'm moving. You know, just walking along there and, you know, the people walking beside you, just pass them up. You know, I just wave at them like, I'm faster than you. Okay? And that's what God wants. Listen, when you connect to your future, you know, I prophesied this here a few weeks ago, but it applies today. We never have to go back to God. Because God's always in our future, not in our past. He spoke that. I mean, I don't know about you, but that rocked my boat. And all we got to do is focus on moving forward rather than moving backward. And so the first fruit is about having that harvest that's needed. But it's a way of saying thanks to God. And the first fruit offering shoots a prophetic arrow out into your field that is ripening unto harvest. See, some of you are destined to move out of your place of lack and to move into your own business. When I saw Leah come in, I mean, it just hit me, Leah, because I, you know, you shared a couple of things, but I know there's a dream in your heart of providing for your son and having your own, and it's time to shoot that prophetic arrow. Remember when the prophet went to the king went to the prophet, the first thing he did was shoot that arrow out of the window. That speaks about your future. Thank you. Are we getting there? Thank you, Matt. All right. I don't know what I did to it, but Matt knows that I'm technically challenged when it comes to this. All right. Now, let's. Tithing, as I said, relates to what you've made. First fruit relates to what you want to make. Are you hearing me? Now, let's go to Hebrews 7 and verses 1 through 7. It says, now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Remember when Abraham went out and he met with Melchizedek? And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater. See, Abraham brought himself into alignment with the Melchizedek priesthood through his giving. And first fruit aligns you with the apostolic. There are apostles in the earth today. And there are apostolic centers and churches in the earth today. Not every church functions that way, but there are some that do. And so it brings you into alignment. Let me ask you this. Had you rather be aligned with a private or a general? Had you rather get your orders from a corporal? Or had you rather get your orders from a general? How many of you know that when a general gives you orders, they outweigh the orders of a sergeant or outweigh the orders of a corporal? And so Melchizedek was allowed the privilege of blessing or empowering the promises that Abraham carried. God wants us to have those promises. In Hebrews 7 and 6, he says, but whose genealogy is not derived from them who received tithe, but from Abraham, and he blessed him with that. See, Abraham is the father of many nations. How many of you know that the Word of God says we are the seed of Abraham? This is not coincidental that I'm teaching first fruit right here as we've just entered into the jubilee of all jubilees. Let me tell you what I know. I know that debt-free living is coming to those that will pay the price to get there. Had a conversation with this woman of God a little bit earlier about Larry Burkett. I cut my teeth on Larry Burkett. Most of you don't even know who he is. A few of you will. But before Dave Ramsey, he was the voice, I want to tell you. And when Susan and I first got, listen, when we got born again, we needed Larry Burkett. I owed $784,000 and couldn't pay it. That's a lot of debt. And we discovered principles with it. And we didn't even discover first fruits back then, although I think we practiced it a little bit without understanding the principle. But people ask me all the time, how did you get out of that debt? We gave our way out. We began to plant seed. We began to believe. We had a trucking company that was losing thousands of dollars a week. I mean, literally, it was just unreal how much money we were losing. And we couldn't figure out how to tithe, you know, because you know, how do you tithe off of something that's losing money? And so, one week we figured out what the tithe could have been, and we weren't able to pay it because we didn't have the money to pay the tithe. And that week, I think, I don't remember what it was, but the tithe was, I'll call it $1,500. We had a driver fuel up in Salisaw, Oklahoma, never took the fuel hose out of the tank, drove off and drug the pump with him. And they wouldn't let my truck leave until I sent them $1,500. And so we watched the devour what we had even greater. And so one day we sit down and made a decision, we're going to sow this much every week no matter where we're making money or not. And it started turning. And some of you, let me just give you the end of this if you've not heard my testimony. I paid $784,000 down to $17,000. Part of it was because we got an insurance settlement. And I walked into the banker who owed $17,000, who I'd given my word to him 2 years prior that I would not declare bankruptcy. Now, I don't want anybody to hear that bankruptcy is of the devil. That was my word. And I owed him $17,000, and I said, I don't know how I can pay you, but I will pay you. I'll send you something every month. I'll pay on this. I just don't know how I can pay you anything. And he pushed his chair back from his desk. He pulled out my note. He tore it in two, and he says, it's the year of Jubilee. Go preach the gospel. We watched the blessings of God come. And it was because, even without knowing the message of first fruit, we were doing it. We were picking up people. We were hauling them to church. I worked on so many cars for people. Everybody in the church that we went to, their car was broke down. Most of them was on welfare or unemployment. And I just started, because I'm mechanical, I can fix your car. And back in that day, these computers, I'm shade tree these days. I'm not even shade tree. When that I stay away, but I couldn't even fix my own daughter's vehicle recently. I had to send it to a shop. But anyway, I want you to catch this. We were practicing and we watched God lift us up out of that. I want to go to the next one. Impartation. See, we've cheapened the value of impartation. You know that four out of five places that you find honor in the Word of God is connected to finances? Boy, y'all get quiet when I go talking about that. Yeah. How many of you know God doesn't want what comes out of your hand, He wants what comes out of your heart? You know that you can have a heart that's not submissive and be a big giver and never get a return. See, some people try to barter with God. Anybody ever been around the bartering system? I grew up around farmers, and farmers bartered. In fact, it was a big deal when I was growing up. Every farmer carried an old Barlow knife. Some of you don't even know, but that was a knife in those days you could buy for a buck. They sent them on the counter. Most grocery stores, every parts store, you could buy a Barlow for a buck. Every farmer carried an old-timer over here, or a buck knife, and a Barlow over here. We used the Barlow to clean battery cables, cut things we shouldn't be cutting with that. But every once in a while, there'd be a bunch of farmers around, and I'd come up to Dan, and I'd say, I'll trade you this old Barlow for your knife. Well, how much you know, and we'd work on. See, people try to trade with God. You can't trade with God. People want to say, well, Lord, I'm going to tithe if you'll bless me. No. He wants to bless you greater than he wants your tithe. He just set an order into this about first fruit and tithing. See, tithing's not Old Testament, it's not New Testament, it's about honor. When Abraham went out to Melchizedek and he gave tithe and offering, he was honoring him for who he was. And the first fruits connect you to the apostolic through honor. Am I making any sense? But we've cheapened the value of impartation. Secondly, there's no impartation without alignment. I want that to settle in. You can go to the Voice of Apostles. Am I being ugly? And Randy Clark, I've ministered right alongside Randy Susan, and I ministered to 3:30 in the morning one time. We finally snuck away. I was give out. He was still ministering in the daylight. Randy Clark can lay hands on you and rub the top of your head to your ball and get nothing if you don't come into a spiritual alignment. And alignment is relational. I ran into someone recently, and we were talking alignment, and they said, oh, yeah, I'm aligned with T.D. Jakes. And I said, great, he's a great man of God. I said, when's the last time you talked to him? Oh, I've never talked to him. And I said, well, then you really need to question whether or not you're aligned. That's like saying, I'm not picking on it. That's like saying you're aligned with the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God is a structure. There needs to be someone within that system that you can align with. Use Tina. Tina is aligned with Cindy Jacobs. We're just there and a commissioning took place. She's aligned with Cindy Jacobs. I feel y'all are aligned here. We're aligned with y'all. Alignment is relational, and it has to have that relational value for it to produce. But see, we've cheapened the value of impartation. Go to the next one, Matt. There's no impartation without alignment. Go to the next one. Let's look at Elijah and Elisha. He kept telling him, isn't it interesting? He said, I want what you got. Elisha told Elijah, I want what you got. And he said, if you see me when I'm taken, you'll get it. You'll get a double portion. Let me translate that down to Mississippi language. If he was there when he was taken, he had a relationship with him. You can't just hang around somebody once or twice and get what they got. That's a myth that has been taught in the church. All authority is relationship, and you've got to have this relationship for it to happen. So everywhere that Elijah went, he kept telling Elisha, he said, you stay here, I'm going on. And what did Elisha say? No, no way, buddy. Where you go, I go. I mean, he said it a little bit like Ruth and Naomi. Your God is my God. Your home is my home. Where you go, I go. In other words, I'm going to see you when you're taken. That's relationship. Didn't Jesus say something close to it? I do the things I see the Father do. That's relationship. Who here, I'm not picking a, who here was raised without a father in your life? I know Michael, so I've been in his life for 25 years with that. Well, see, you can't, if he never knew his father, and he never had that ability for his father relationally to impart to him, then he can't do the things he saw his father do. You got to be around people. You know, I had the privilege of my closest friend in the earth until I married Susan was my father. I mean, we were like clones. I mean, if you saw Bob, I mean, I was married to Susan for 3 or 4 years before people quit saying, oh, that's Bob Nash's boy. I didn't even have a name. I just Bob Nash's boy. And I want to tell you, it didn't bother me a bit. Because my dad had a good name, and he carried something. And, I thought, man, I'm Bob Nash's boy. But see, if you didn't have that, if you didn't get time to spend, you say, how does this tie to first fruit? It's Elijah and Elisha. It's Moses and Joshua. It's Paul and Timothy. Go to the next one. Abraham brought himself into alignment with Melchizedek through the honor with his finances. It was displayed through his finances. First fruits bring you into alignment with the kingdom. Won't that set in? How many of you want greater alignment with the kingdom? What is the kingdom? It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. See, it is impossible to show honor without involving finances. You can't do it. You know, I put a joke. Someone already wrote me and asked me if I was being truthful yesterday. But we went to the car show at Tunica yesterday. I'm serious. It was a great car show. There was at least, 600 cars? I mean, it was a lot of cars there. I mean, we spent the whole afternoon. But can I tell you the best part of the show? They had 3 Nash cars there. They had a 32 Nash Lafayette. They had a 37. They had a 38. And they're just so rare. You know, with it. So some of you might saw it on Facebook. I just put on, you know, coming up this week, we enter into clergy month. Appreciate your clergy, your pastor. And I said, if anybody would need a hint of what I wanted, one of those cars would do. All right. I was just almost joking. All right. Proverbs 3:9-10. Listen to it. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. I don't care how much you're struggling. You know, Michael's car has been broke down for about 2 weeks, hasn't it, Michael? A little bit longer. But can I tell you? I mean, he knows this, and other people in the room know this, and everything with that. But just through the generosity of a couple came to me the other day and said, we have this car. We want to bless the church with it. Michael's going to be receiving a car this afternoon. Okay? And it's a fact. And can I just tell you, without the people that are giving are here, Susan and I both, we'd not got together and prayed. We'd both asked the Lord, Lord, do something for Michael. Because his little car was just going to cost so much to fix. But honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns, everybody say barns, barns, will be filled with plenty. Plenty. Listen, there's a promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, having an abundance for every good work. I'm waiting on that day. I'm going to use Debbie and David Smith here. I'm waiting that day when I can cut you a check for $250,000. Then I'm going to come over here to this ministry. Then I'm going to go somewhere else. Henry and Mary Thomas. I'm going to say, hey, here's that motorhome you need for traveling. Now, what? I'm prophetic. Come on. Listen, if you don't want to sow and to give, you don't really understand the principle of the kingdom. You got to plant to reap. When I plant that motorhome into their life, that means I've got at least 2 coming. Because God always gives more than. You don't know the cars that we've given away. Not unusual for the people that blessed us for Michael. We've been praying it. But your barns will be filled with plenty. And I love that. And your vats will overflow with new wine. What is new wine? It speaks about joy. It speaks about fulfillment. I don't want to do. I was talking to someone this morning. This morning a pastor called me. And I could, I could go back, I could go home, and I could say to some of my family, I want to go back into farming. And I'm just telling you, I got 6 cousins that farm 75,000 acres. They could throw me 2,000 or 3,000 acres and never miss it. But it's not what I'm called to do. The fulfillment is in what I'm doing this morning. I'm seeing light bulbs come on in people's life. You know, I see what God is doing. It connects you to the authority. See, some of you are still battling your lack because you're not properly aligned yet in your heart. It's a heart thing. Debbie, that gift that you and I were giving tonight, very significant. Very significant. But would you say, And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, and if it's not true, but the giving was pretty good in that conference. Would you say that?
Yes.
Overall?
Overall, yes.
Is there a chance it may be better than the last time you did one or something like that? See, I believe alignment produced some of that. I think even the 70.
Three times.
Okay. We've not talked about this, but she's saying that in that conference, there was three times as much giving as normally she takes in. And it's because David and her and us, Susan and I, we've got a heart-to-heart alignment. I was able to preach out there at that Jubilee conference. I mean, I'm not ever saying I'm a good preacher, but man, I had fun preaching. And that's how Paul said this, I think myself happy. I say this, I preach myself happy. I can come in here a little bit concerned about something and preach, and then I become happy. Let's go to 1 Timothy, next slide, chapter 5, verse 7 and 18. It said, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. The labor is worthy of his wages. In Hebrews 7 and 4, it says, now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Verse 7 said, now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And so in other words, when you give your first fruits today or you make a first fruit pledge, it's going to align you with what God is doing apostolically. I think y'all were in a meeting last night, am I right, with Betty Love?
Yes.
She works in the state. She's carrying something. She's aligning the state into a better form, a more the order of God. But this first fruits offering affects everything across this whole territory. And when you're aligned with what God is doing apostolically, you know that when Gulfport, Mississippi, which we are working with a couple right now and putting the plans together about planning an apostolic center there this next year, we're working on that, but when Gulfport, Mississippi gets this apostolic center, how many of you know it's going to affect you up here in Olive Branch, South Haven, Memphis, wherever you came in from? And so when you plant into this, it moves you into that. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Honor is a result of revelation. You know, to some people in this room, you call me pastor. Some people call me Clay. Many of you call me Papa. Some of you call me Apostle. I'm not concerned with what title you put in front of my name. But you know that I can never be to you anything you don't see me as. The scripture says to have friends, you need to show yourself friendly. Amen? I see people all the time that don't have any friends. But when you watch the way they conduct themselves, they don't show themselves friendly. I'm extremely relational. It's actually my greatest strength. How many of you know what my greatest weakness is? I'm extremely relational. Because I want to be everyone. I want to be in every. I don't have time anymore. I'm getting to a place I'm going to have to give an email away and have other people answer them because there's just not enough time. I'm not saying I'm something, but with being relational, there comes great things, but there come handicaps. Are you with me? We can honor only what we esteem through revelation. Abraham wasn't impressed with himself that he couldn't see who someone else was. How many of you realize how important it is to understand how we recognize? You know, when it says, whoever, help me with the scripture, I didn't want to blank it, gives a prophet, receives a prophet's reward. Okay? You gotta recognize them as a voice into your life for you to receive a reward off of that. First fruits and the tithe are not the same. The tithe is what we give after our harvest. First fruit is what we give before. These are important. You've got to get this down in your spirit. See, I believe some of you today are going to give a first fruits offering or maybe make a first fruits pledge, and your life is going to so change for the future. I want to share with you about my son. This is 2008. How many of you remember back in 2008? What happened? The bubble busted, right? Real estate started down. People started laying off. Things were tight. My son had been promised a raise. When the bubble busted, they didn't give him his raise. He started looking for a job. He was unhappy. Been promised something, wasn't given. But early that year, he sold a first fruits offering for a raise. He put his resume out on monster.com. Company called him in. He took a test, had 10 questions on it. He got 9 out of 10 right. They called him up the next day. Said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the guy that took your test." He said, "No, we want to know, where were you trained?" He said, "I don't have any training." He said, "Well, where'd you learn what you know?" He said, "From my grandfather and my daddy. He was homeschooled, never went to college." They said, "We've been using this test for 17 years, got 10 questions on it. The highest score we've ever got is 2, and you got 9 out of 10. We want to hire you. What would it take?" He came to me and said, "Dad, I got another job." I said, "What is it?" "He's in a factory working with pneumatics, that's air and hydraulics." I said, "Son, that ain't you. It's going to be nasty. You're going to be inside four walls. But, Dad, I can make this much money more a year." I said, "Your company wants you. They just don't realize it yet. The company you're at now." I said, "They'll pay you that same amount if you'll listen to me." "Dad, they done told me I'm not getting raised." I said, "Son, quit listening to Daddy. Start listening to the prophet in Daddy." I said, "If you can just separate me from Daddy right now, I can help you." He said, "Talk to me." I said, "Here's how to approach your supervisor." I said, "The first word out of your mouth, I want to stay with this company. I don't want to change jobs. But I got a child and I got a wife and I've got more expenses and with it. Don't talk about what they didn't give you. Don't make that an issue. Talk about what you need." God told him, said, "We done told you, we're not giving you a raise." My son asked him very specifically. He said, "You want a month notice or you want 2 weeks?" The guy said, "Well, let me talk to HR and I'll get back to you." Next morning, my son goes in and one of the HR guys, and I'm not even saying this was why, comes out of the department. He said, "Man, you were the topic of discussion last night." My son said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Your supervisor told us that you're going to put in notice and..." My son said, "I don't want to. I want to work here. But I can make this much more money and I've got to take care of my family." And the HR guy told him something very interesting. He said, "Well, let me tell you what I told him." He said, "That young man's the future of this company." He said, "You need to give him what he wants." He said, "If he wants the sink out of the shop, let him carry it home with him." Well, boy, my son was like this then. You know, he was like, "Woo!" The moment he got off work, he called me on the phone. And he said, "Dad, I think maybe you heard God." I said, "The track record's pretty good." I walked him through it. When it all came down, just a few weeks later, they gave him $1,350 a month raise. He's making about $3 an hour more than that now. With that, why? Number one, his faith. Number two, he sowed a first fruits. We sown first fruits for that house, our house to sell. We lived in a house here in South Haven for 11 years and sold it for more than we paid for it. Why? Because God honors first fuits. Whether it's work on a roof. This man right here was a great blessing. Him and I worked all one day trying to get a receptacle to work in a house that we were selling. Couldn't get it to work. We finally gave up. And he left and went home, and I know he's a man of prayer. He's my friend. He's a man of prayer. I'm sure I feel like he said a prayer, and I said a prayer. And before I left that house that afternoon, I just plugged up something into it just one more time. I don't even know why I did. And the light came on. We don't know to this day what we did to fix it. And it was going to cost a lot of money because the people said, "We want this outlet fixed. It was a special outlet. We want this outlet fixed." I'm just telling you. first fruits rebukes the devourer for your sake. It connects you to the apostolic. It opens a window in heaven so God can pour out a blessing on you you can't hold. I feel what I'm hearing in my heart. There are people in this room, you've got student loans. And you need to sow a first fruit today for God to do a miracle. I'm going to tell you, the company you go to work for can step up the plate and pay your student loans off. You know that this is true. Corporate America has a way of negotiating with the government to get your student loans reduced. You don't have that power, but I know of some corporate America situation to where they negotiated. And they reduced the student debt level. I don't know who that's for, but if you've got some student loans that are overwhelming you, I want to just tell you that you can do that. Are you hearing me? The priests were honored with first fruits from the people. Hebrews 3:1 says, Jesus is the high priest and the apostle of the confession of our faith. These two terms are linked together. The high priest of the Old Testament is a reflection of the New Testament office of apostle. The Levites were supported by the tithe of the people. That's the pastoral. Levite speaks of the local church ministry. The Levites then aligned and honored the high priest with their tithes, which connected them to the apostolic. Are you hearing me? The tithe aligns us with the local church ministry. First fruits aligns us with the apostolic. People are not aligned unless they are functioning in tithes, offerings, and first fruits. I want to go back and hammer one other thing, and then we're going to give you a chance. I hope you brought your debts today. I'm so thankful. I know Jill Harm is watching from Pueblo, Colorado. She's the part of this house. She mailed all of her debts into us this week with her first fruits for today. Can I just tell you? She was just widowed. Okay? Her husband, Marvin, great friend of mine, one of the greatest men of God I've ever known, one of the greatest strategists with that. And so she's got a few debts that need to be paid. I believe God can step up. You know, how many of you remember us praying for Larry Carter here, our friend from Brinkley, Arkansas? We actually started in ministry with years ago. You know, after Larry passed away, Sheila, a farmer, came by, stopped in one day, and he said, look, I just need to tell you that I just called a company, and they're going to come put a complete new roof on your house. I so appreciated your husband that I just want to bless you. Come on. There is so much that God can do for you about paying off your debt or getting your car repaired or getting a roof put on your house or aligning you with something. I don't know where it's at. See, you know why some of you are not going to see the harvest that God wants for you? Because you built too small of barns. See, some of you are just struggling with this today. You're not hearing this in the manner that needs to. God doesn't do magic, but he does miracles.
Amen.
Amen? You know, when we owed all that money, one of the ways we got we were able to pay it off, we had a truck in a wreck, and we finally got a settlement. And the settlement paid it down. We had reduced it by that time to about, I think it was $485,000, and we got a big enough settlement. It paid all that off except $17,000. You don't have to know how God's going to work, but you can trust the way he does work. You don't have to know that it's going to... Money doesn't grow on trees and it doesn't fall out of heaven. But can I tell you what it can? He can rise up and have people come. I know a situation in Phoenix, Arizona. Kim Clement actually prophesied a word. There's somebody going to give to this pastor. Businessman is going to buy you a building. The church had went through a real hard time and downside. They went into bankruptcy, lost their building, everything with that. And a businessman came along, bought a building. It had been a multiple car dealership, you know, big car dealership. Bought the building and gave this pastor, I know this for a fact, know this pastor, and gave him $1.5 million to retro it. Somewhere very near here, there was a pastor moved and took over a church. Little bitty brick church, you know, church about 100 and some. And about a year after he was there, maybe a little bit longer, a farmer came to him. He said, you know, the Lord sent you here. And the pastor said, yeah, I prayed about it. I really believe he did. And he said, no, the Lord sent you here. And the pastor said, well, yeah, I really felt it. He said, no. He said, 3 years before you got here, the Lord told me you were coming. And he said, when he comes, they're going to need a bigger building and a better building. Start setting aside some seed. Boy, he had the pastor's attention. He said, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, so you need to start getting some plans because I got you $1 million in seed. This is a town, population probably less than 2,000 or 3,000. The building's built, been added on. It's debt free. Why? Because God's got a vision. First fruits connects you to the apostolic, which is visionary. And when it connects you to that, not only does the vision of the house come to pass, but the vision of this house, or this house, or this house, or this lady right here. The vision comes to pass. God wants to cause a blessing to rest upon your household. He wants to bring a blessing to you. He wants to break off the rejection. He wants to break off the lack that's in your house. There's no other way to live except in the lifestyle of first fruits. Every time you come up against something. I'm going to put you on the spot over here. How do you feel about the job interview? How does it look to you?
Looks perfect.
I like that. With that. Now here's my question. Do you feel that you have enough first fruit seed today to plant for that job? Yes or no? You feel you have enough? Okay, good. Because see, sometimes we just feel if we just had a little bit, our faith is bigger than what we got to give. Amen? First fruits. It's like an insurance. It rebukes the accident before it ever happens. Can I boast in the Lord?
Yes.
Because of coming from a trucking background and all the ministry that we do, I've driven over 3 million miles in my life. Easily. You know, I've driven from England to Russia 5 times. I mean, I've been there. We just don't have accidents other than that one when Alistair Petrie was here right up here on Goodman. And I want to tell you, I beefed up my prayer after that. You know, someone texting ran into the back of us, knocked us into a vehicle, towed the vehicle out. Got my insurance counseled. How can they counsel you when somebody else causes the accident? I don't know, but they did ours with it. But what I'm trying to tell you is, God wants to rebuke the devourer. I can't tell you we've been accident free, but I can tell you we've never been in any serious accident. Even back when I was not serving God, I've awakened 5 times in my life in an 18 wheeler loaded down with produce in the median running in excess of 70 or 75 miles an hour and wake up and realize where I'm at and ease it back onto the interstate. Never turn one over. Never even hit a sign in the middle of the median. Those things don't happen. He wants to work with you. He wants to partner with you. I'm going to use Brandon and Deanna. I watched y'all's life turn around, not just in getting married, but when Deanna really caught this and began to, and Brandon did, and began to tithe and begin to give offering and first fruits and all that, has it made a difference? Yeah. I mean, she complained here, I don't know, some time ago. I don't know if it was a complaint. She didn't complain, but she just let me know that her biggest deal was she had too much house cleaning, you know, jobs and stuff like that, needed better workers and needed more. God will bless you to a place that you can't even imagine. Chris, your first fruits are going to seal to where this job is going to produce more than you even think.
Wow. Praise God.
Come on. I believe this stuff. We're giving first fruits, right? We do every time. We're going to continue. Now here's what I want to do. Maybe some of you, I know we have guests in, visitors in today. You didn't come today with your debts. Will you just take a moment? There's a bulletin. If you weren't given a bulletin, we'll hand you one. If you need a pen, we'll hand you. Take just a moment. Hold your hand up if you need a bulletin or a pen. Have somebody help me here. Get them something to write on. You ushers, help us here. You have some pens in the office, okay? Are there pens in the back of the seat? I want you to write, if you've got a credit card, write American Express about what you owe. If you've got a mortgage on your house, you know, let me just tell you what we're believing for. We're believing for this building paid off in 7 years or less. You say, what do you owe? About $428,000.
Less than that
now? Okay. Wow, less than that. About $400,000. Huh? Just a little bit over $400,000. You know, just a year ago when we refinanced, we owed $500,000. We've reduced $100,000, right at $100,000 in debt in a year's time with about 100 people. You know why? Because we want this place debt free. Let me just tell you, when we refinanced our house recently at 3% interest, we financed it on a 15-year mortgage, but we've got our heart set in less than 10 years. We're debt free. In 10 years, I'm 72. I want to be debt free. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
We're working these things. God's prophesied to us that we're going to own some land somewhere. I don't know what that looks like, but I want to get debt free.
Amen.
I'm trying to stir up your faith right now. Larry and Hope, I'm in agreement. I've been praying. Hadn't heard anything exactly yet. But I know it's an assault against y'all. You know, same prayer I prayed over him, I've already started praying over y'all. They're having extreme vehicle problems. I don't know how many miles on it, but I imagine it's a few. But I'm believing that somebody can bless them with a good vehicle. And it's not because they're destitute. They're working to get debt free. They don't want to go out. They can go out and borrow the money. That's not what's in their heart. I just have to say this, Susan, I know that I know. Yeah. Are you writing your debt down? Now, here's how we do it here. I don't even know the date. Dawn, you can look it up. In 50 days, we're asking you if you want to make a pledge on first fruits. We're asking you to set your heart to pay it in 50 days. That's Jubilee. Now, let me tell you how it works. If you're not able to pay it in 50 days, you know, it's not like on Facebook. If you don't forward this, you're going to get cursed. Okay? We don't believe in that. That's superstition. What we're saying, we're just setting a goal. Now, let me help you. If you make a pledge today, let me tell you how it's something that we've noticed. The people who pay weekly on their pledges complete them. The people who don't pay, let me tell you what a weekly payment on a $1,000 pledge would be, a buck. The last thing I want to say about first fruits is, first fruits is always sacrificial. Now let me show you where first fruits actually come from. I haven't done this yet. When the children of Israel, everything back during that day, the main staple was wheat or barley. And so when the wheat or barley field ripened, there's always a portion of it that ripens before the rest of it. That's first fruits. I come from an agronomy background, being a farmer. Let me tell you what we understand as farmers. The first part that ripens in the field is the most hardy seed to plant the next year's crop. So if you were a covenant Israelite, you would go harvest that first fruits and you would bring it, waving it to the Lord as a sheave offering, and you would wave it to the Lord because you're saying, I'm trusting you to bring in the completeness of heart. When wheat ripens in the Middle East, from the time that it first ripens until the first fruits ripens until the total field is ripe, is hail season. And when a hailstorm comes, it can beat all the wheat off and there's nothing to harvest. If you were not a covenant Israelite, you would take that first fruits and you would store it to where moisture couldn't get to it and weevils couldn't get to it and bugs couldn't get to it and everything, because that was the only potential you had to plant another crop. See, the covenant Israelite said, I'm going to put my trust in you, God. Where the non-covenant Israelite said, I'm going to trust and store it up where moth and rust. You ever read that in an old book? And so God wants you to understand to operate as a covenant in covenant and really be the seed of Abraham, we need to put our trust in him that he can bring that harvest. You know, when we came here to this building 11 years ago, a little bit, almost 12 now, there was a handful of people here. Sister Doris was part of it. Others were part of it. And I remember that Wednesday night, we met with the group of people that was here, and they asked us some questions, and we didn't give them the answers they wanted. One thing they asked said, if you come here and start a church in this building, who's the building going to belong to? I said, it's going to have to be signed over into the apostolic ministry. Boy, I mean, I don't mean it's wrong, but I can see heads spinning. You're going to come in and control everything. And then they asked me, so, well, we have a financial board here. What about them? I said, they all got to resign. Well, who's going to control the finances? I said, with accountability to my apostolic presbytery, Susan and I. I said, but let me tell you what I'll do. I'll come here under these circumstances. I'll come for the first year and not draw a salary. If you'll trust me, I'll sacrifice. And we did. We came. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Why are you saying that? Because God wants you to know that when you're connected to the apostolic, you're connected to that which has integrity. You're connected. We have accountability. We have multiple people that handle the finances. We have multiple people. There's checks and balances here. You know, we're not with it. In fact, let me just tell you, we've had a short season this summer. Giving was down. Okay? Every bill was paid. Never got behind on one bill. But there was about 4 weeks there. We took our paycheck, but we never deposited. Because we didn't want the account to get so low. We dipped into some reserve. Are you hearing? We're the first ones to sacrifice with that. What I'm asking you to do today, just simply ask the Lord, what are you to do? Are you to give? Are you to make a pledge? It's all about God rebuking the devourer for your sake. That's what it's about. Are you ready? Okay. I want to move this, guys. Be careful with the... close that laptop. I want the leaders to come up. We're going to have three or four. Okay. Susan brought our building mortgage. Can we just pray over that first for the building here? Come on up, leaders, and join with us. We're going to pray over this building mortgage. Will you stand to your feet? Now, what we're going to do is our leader is going to be here at the front. Let me just tell you, there's not one couple here or one leader here that's even more anointed or stronger than the other one. What's here in this house is here in this house. And we're going to come in agreement. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to come in agreement. I don't know what, I can't remember your name here. Kinsey. What? Kinsey. Cindy?
Kinsey.
Yeah. All right, got it. And I apologize. I have a hearing deficit with that. I see a door opening to you. It's like you've been standing and there's two doors. You don't know which one to open. I hear the Lord saying you're going to open the right one. There's a big transition coming in your life. It's going to pull you away from some things that you care so much about, but it's going to usher you in to what God has for you. There's a strong anointing of worship on you, and God wants to take that to another level. And I know you're visiting today, and so I'm not putting any pressure, but just ask the Lord if you are to sow a first fruit, because I believe that that's going to seal the next season of destiny. Now, will you just stretch your hand this way towards you? What do we owe? A little bit over 400,000?
Yeah,
huh? Will you stretch? How many of you can believe with us? I promise you, we're managing everything. We're needing new speakers in the house right now, and the money's just not there to do it. I spoke with someone about it this morning. We're just, you know, we just don't have the money to do it. Our speakers are outdated. We're starting to have problems. We want to put in a better speaker system. We've improved other things. But we want this building paid off. Amen? You know, let me tell you one of the reasons. We want a drive under out here so you can pull up and let your family out in the dry. We're going to have to increase parking here one day. Our asphalt is wearing down. Our carpet is wore out. How many of you know if we're looking up at God, we're not going to see the carpet? That's what I do when I come in here to pray. Because I'm just telling you, the carpet is stained and you know, with that. But it's not about all, you know, we're not trying to impress people. We want this done. So stretch your hand. Father, we come in agreement for this debt being paid in 7 years or less. Lord, 7 years or less can be tomorrow. 7 years or less can be next month. 7 years or less can be by December. 7 years or less can be when you choose to release it to us, Lord. We're going to be good stewards. We're going to handle it properly, but we declare this little over $400,000 debt is gone. And we declare it paid off, and we just release you, Lord, to do what you do and to bring in the wealth that we need. And we do so in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
We're going to line up across here, and we're just going to give you, bring it. If you have your debt written on a piece of paper, have it in your hand when the leaders lay hands on you. And what we're going to ask you to do, we're going to just spread these offering basket out. When you finish on either side of us, just go and lay your first fruits in an offering basket. Just kind of spread them out. Dan. Ooh. Don't forget that this afternoon, is it 3 o'clock? Worship without words. It's dance and mime, and I mean, it's an incredible time. I want to tell you, Swandered puts together, it's just going to be great. This afternoon, am I right on 3? Somebody shake your head. I don't remember the time. Is that when it is? 3 o'clock this afternoon. I promise you, you will be touched being here. And so it's important to do that. Amen? All right. Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah. Right before we do that, hey, Shane. Y'all come up here. Right before we begin, we have something. This couple moved up here, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. I can't even remember now. Life's so fast. But they've had an opportunity in Jackson, Mississippi open up. And even their apartment up here, they can just swap off leases. We're going to commission this. For this, they're going to move back down to Jackson so they can do some real estate work. We really feel it's God. And they came over the other day and visited us. And pronounce the name of that cake for me. Say it loud enough where they can hear it. It's a three milk cake. Am I right? If you've never had one, stay away from it. It's totally addicting. All right. But anyway, they came and we came in agreement. And we're going to commission them for this move. This will be the last. Well, y'all be back to visit. But the last Sunday they're going to be living here. And if you don't know who this is Apostle Santiago. Come here, buddy. This is my buddy. The only reason he loves me is because he loves my bass boat, all right? I want to tell you, he caught so many bass the other day out of it and drove it all around our yard, okay? Father, we lay hands on this couple and commission them for this transition. We come in agreement as they move to the Jackson area that real estate will sell. Commissions will come in that you're going to prosper them in a magnificent way. We declare there's a protective hedge of the blood of Christ and the word of God around them. And we just rebuke every assignment. We declare that this move will be easy. The transition on this lease will be easy. And we declare the favor of God upon them both, that people will come to buy this real estate only from shame. And we declare these things to be so. In Jesus' name. I feel another thing to pray. And Father, that which is in Honduras, which will have great effect upon the kingdom, we just declare that it will begin to produce even quicker than what's planned. Let the money be released. I feel like I'm supposed to say this publicly, Shane. Let the gold come forth from the earth in Jesus' name. There's a potential, I'm just going to say this, they have connections with a gold mine in Honduras that has great potential, and they've been working on it. We just bless it. I see a blessing coming to your family in Honduras. I'm just telling you, there's some things that's in your heart, and one of the things the Lord told me the other day about your dad, even in reading some of the stuff that we know he's reading right now, God's going to get into his heart in a deeper way with that, because he's got an approach to the things of God that's more out of his intellect than out of his heart. And God told me that as he reads there, he's going to begin to come into an understanding about it in Jesus' name. Isn't that right? Yeah. You think so? You and I talk heart to heart. You know we do. We have since you were born. Yeah. Father, we bless you. I declare he's first fruits in the McDonald. He's first fruits. We just declare that over San Diego. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready to go back to him? Oh, okay. All right. You better get in this line, because there's debt-free living right here, I want to tell you. Bring your debts up and your first fruits.